CliffCentral.com.
Take me out.
Yeah. Love it. Franz Ferdinand and Take Me Out. All right. Gupta family spent way more than $2 million, according to Tyron this morning. He says the rest of the bill was settled by initial deposits made prior to the wedding. And there's a lot of people who know this stuff. You see, you can't hide anything these days. It's all out there, thanks to the internet. And guys, I come from Joburg, and I'm well accustomed to crazy storms. I've been living in Cape Town for just over a year now, and there is no money that they could pay me to climb in my car right now. There's some crazy stuff going on out here. I feel so heartbroken for the homeless. Happy Wednesday. And that's obviously because the storm is quite hectic. That's why the ladies from the wedding show said money up front or no wedding. Do you remember? We were talking about the Guptas earlier, and they didn't settle their bills. And when Carly and Dombey were here from the wedding show, they said they always ask these people to pay for their wedding up front, because once the wedding's over, you're like, what? I spent that much money on one day? That's insane. And then they don't want to pay.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Someone says, Berlin is fantastic. You're going to love it. And then they would go on in German. Berlin ist wunderschön. Architektur atemberaubend. Und lustig. Du wirst es lieben. Okay. I don't know what that means. I imagine something around architecture is great. It's beautiful. It's wunderschön. And du wirst es lieben. You will love it. I imagine. And then there are a couple of other messages. Ben, you Arsenal hater, you. Man, you is huge. How dare you say that?
How does that make me an Arsenal hater?
You're an Arsenal supporter, but you hate Man U.
Yeah, I get that. I get economics, and I get business, and I get the fact that people in China want to wear Wayne Rooney shirts for whatever reason. But Real Madrid, when they play, 7 million people are in that stadium. It's the biggest stadium in the world. Old Trafford's what, like 70,000?
Yeah.
Mm. Okay, wow. So they brought 15,000 people less on match day, and they play a lot of matches. They win the Champions League. They win stuff. Someone else tweeted me saying, yeah, but they overpay for every player they've got, which is also a fair point. It's all balance sheets.
That is.
And you got to bear in mind as well, United, whereas some teams like Chelsea and City get cash injections from their owners, United actually supplement the Glazers' debt. So there's that as well. They're also paying somebody else's bill as opposed to having their bill paid. But yeah, it's merchandising, and also the fact that the English league is just so much more watched throughout the world than what the Spanish league is.
Yeah, but La Liga is so much bigger than the English league.
If you're wondering who that voice is, that's Gord Laws, who's chilling with us this week. He got out of Cape Town just before the storm. He decided he is not going to sit through that. Hell no. So he took what little water was left, and he hightailed it to Joburg.
I take quite a lot of bathing, Gareth.
All right. One last comment, and this is on a scale of 1 to astronomical, how much was Helen Ziller into the storm in Cape Town? Says Greg, yeah, major. You just have to go and look at her timeline. I've never seen anyone so excited about anything in my life. So you know that show Come Dine With Me?
Mm-hmm. I love that show because it's so bad.
They put these four people, it's usually four, right? Four people and into the show, and they each have to invite the other three to their house. Yes. And they have to cook them a meal, and then they all rate each other. So in the English version of this show, there was this one girl who gave the guy the lowest possible score so she could win.
Which happens. It happens often.
Yeah, it's bad sport. So what you really should do is say, well, I didn't love it, but I'll give you a 5 out of 10. You know, that means... It was edible. Like if you give someone a 1, it means that you basically gave them food poisoning, and their house was like a shack.
I saw that once when a woman served squirrel. Literally, two of her guests went and vomited in the garden, and wow. I swear to God, this really happened.
And yeah, they gave them a 1.
Well, they actually got a higher score than 1.
Wow,
it was good ambience and good entertainment, but the squirrel started didn't sit well.
So anyway, these guys, they got to the end of the show now. There's one little nerdy dude with glasses on. There's a little blonde girl. And then there's this fat lummox who voted 1 out of 10 for the guy who's reading out the results. So he just ignores the other two, goes straight for her, and listen to how the show goes. And this is for real. I mean, it's just people obviously, mostly they're polite, but not in this case.
You won, Jane.
Oh, my God.
Enjoy the money. I hope it makes you very happy. Dear Lord, what a sad little life, Jane.
Oh.
You ruined my night completely so you could have the money, but I hope now you spend it on getting some lessons in grace and decorum, because you have all the grace of a reversing dump truck without any tyres on. Well, you wouldn't, let's be honest. There's nobody in there, love.
Steal Snoop Dogg, D.I., Guess who's back?
Wow. That's a hell of a way to end the show.
Still doing this, Andre.
How's that? You have all the grace of a reversing dump truck with no tires on.
That's brilliant.
It's a good line, huh?
Yeah, these people take themselves very seriously on this show. And
heavy.
It's all very personal as well.
Oh, massive.
I mean, they definitely are not fair when it comes to the scoring, because they obviously want to win the cash at the end of it.
It's a really clever show, and you think that everyone thinks they can cook, right? And
yeah.
Everyone thinks they can host people.
Yeah.
So is that the draw card? Like, people watch for the dynamics and the rivalry and how
over
the top you go.
It's
I've never understood it.
Yeah, so it's a cooking show, but like, it'd be quite a fun thing to do with your friends. Each of you host one another for like a night of a week, and then you work out who the best host was. Because a lot goes into hosting, right? You can have various drinks, you can have shirtless waiters, you can whatever your budget is. And everyone makes an effort, but to understand what an effort is for some person compared to others, that's where the humor comes.
Also, this show has one of the best narrators that have ever existed.
Great. They're so sarcastic.
Yeah, you think that. Then there was the South African version.
They
and
kept
then
the same narrator,
yeah. Too,
they had great. To. Yo, it would have tanked otherwise.
So sarcastic about everybody. All right, it's 10 after 7. On the way, in the next couple of minutes, we're going to meet the person who set the Sarmas alight. She made the biggest impression. Everyone was talking about her after the Sarmas. She was wearing this dress, this fabulous dress. She was lying on the carpet. She was crawling around. She got a lot of attention. Skolopat. I'm going to speak to her in the next little bit. I'm looking forward to meeting her. Hello, honey. She looks great. She's full
ready
of energy
for
this morning.
Yeah.
All right, but before we get to that, here's something from Jerry Seinfeld. This is kind of fun, to get you in a good mood this morning. So Jerry Seinfeld is at some event, and Kesha comes up to give him a hug. And Kesha wants to hug Jerry Seinfeld, and he's like, hell no, I don't want to hug you. I don't think he even knows who Kesha is. Listen to this quickly. This is pretty funny. So he's at this awards show or whatever it is, and Jerry's not interested in Kesha at all. Doesn't want anything to do with her. Is that right? Do you know what the award ceremony was?
I don't, Gareth.
Was this something recent?
It was fairly recent. It must have been in the last couple of days.
Because at the same time, you know, no one has really heard of Kesha. She's just been going through a court situation, and she, you know, some sexual harassment or sexual
Who did she harass?
Allegations. No, she filed it against
no
a former
way.
Producer's
Oh, remember that story about 2 years ago, yeah.
So she sort of died down and kept quiet. So I'm even surprised that she's now attending award shows. Huh.
Well, I mean, I don't know that Kesha is well known to Jerry Seinfeld.
Exactly.
I think they might come from totally different parts of the entertainment business. But they clearly do not want to. Well, she wants to be around him. He's not interested in hugging her.
Well, she may have sold tens of millions of singles, but it looks like not everyone knows who Kesha is. While being interviewed Monday night at the Kennedy Center, sitcom legend Jerry Seinfeld was approached by the enthusiastic pop star, who's a Seinfeld fanatic.
Yes, I love you so much.
Oh, thanks.
Things got awkward quick, though, when the actor denied her hug not once, but three times.
I can be hugged.
No, thanks.
Please?
No, thanks.
A little one.
Yeah, no, thanks.
Oh.
She ran off looking pretty embarrassed, and we find out it's because Jerry's never even heard of the singer.
I don't know who that was.
Yeah, it's Kesha.
Okay.
Maybe she'll get another shot in the future, since Jerry says he wishes her the best.
Well, I wish her the best.
Was this?
He's great. Isn't that terrific? Because sometimes people will, they'll come up to you and they'll ask for a hug, and you're like, nah, I'm not really into that. You know who always comes up here and she always hugs?
Uh-oh.
And she's a sweetheart, but I mean, it does get annoying after the 25th time. Because you always have to get up from whatever you're doing and hug her. Because she's quite demanding about it. Candace Mama. She always wants a hug. She can't wave to you across the room. She can't say, hey, how are you?
You know what I mean? Am I right, Balesa? Yeah. She always has to fucking hug.
All the time.
Yeah, she's very affectionate.
And I love her, don't get me wrong. But you'll be in the middle of a meeting with four other people. And because we're kind of more or less open plan around here, there aren't really formal offices and stuff. So then she'll come in and she'll hug everyone around the table.
Including people she doesn't know as well at the meeting.
Please. Okay. Jeffrey Dahmer was sitting at the table. She'd go, oh, hey, Jeffrey. Come here, give me a hug. She's a sweetheart. She's one of the nicest people in the whole world. She really is. Love her to pieces. All right, let's get Skolpat in here. And let me play some of this song, which this is a single called Kloboneng. Listen to this quickly. This is the song that launched Skolpat. Mm. Mm, she's wearing her shorts. Mm. Bring her in here, Sia.
The show is gonna start now. Mm. You're gonna show them how you move your thing, how you move your body.
Right.
Cause it's gonna take you all night, all night. And you're gonna show them.
Hello, baby. Come and sit down here. You look fabulous.
Sexy.
How are you?
I'm okay.
Skolopat, you drove all the way through the night to be with us this morning.
Yes.
Thank you, honey. Well, listen, you made a huge impression on everybody at the Sama Awards.
Wait, am I safe? Where's that guy?
Which guy? Who are you looking for? What do you mean?
The one that you're always with.
Me? I'm always with?
Yes.
Who? Are you sure you got the right place?
All right.
You did.
He's not here. Who?
Which the devil? Guy? Who are we talking about?
Hey.
So, all right.
What is it? A person we know? Is it a?
Is he famous? Yes. He's always next to you, on Idols.
Oh right. Oh. Okay. Well, you see, we don't.
So easy.
Yeah.
I think so easy.
Randall.
Not Big Jack.
Unati.
No.
Randall.
Simon Cowell.
What's this?
Did he say something about you? No, I'm just scared of his mood and serious.
Yeah, he's very serious. I understand.
Yes.
And don't worry, he's not here because this isn't called Idols. This is, you see on the sign here, it's cliffcentral.com.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. That was a TV show I quit last year.
Mm.
Yeah, too much. So listen, you made a huge impression on everybody at the Samas. Well done.
Thank you.
Everybody's been talking about you for the last couple of weeks. So you're new on the music scene, but you used to be a nurse. Is that right?
Used to be. Oh, I'm still.
Are you still a nurse?
Yes.
You're a nurse and a singer.
Yes, and a mother. Three in one.
Oh, you got three jobs to do. You must be a busy woman.
Yes.
You managed to drop everything and come and see us this morning. I'm very, very pleased. Thank you.
Thank you.
So tell me, what's life like for you at the moment if you're juggling these three careers? You've got music, motherhood, and the nursing. Nursing's a full-time job, right?
Yes.
So are you off today? Did you book off?
I'm off.
Mm-hmm. Did you tell them you were coming to talk to me?
Yes, I did.
And what did they say?
They said, Joe.
How did you get into music?
So it was just easy. I mean, I started dancing, and then my child just said, Mama, can you stop dancing for other people's music? Can you dance for your own music? Then I started like, how am I going to start doing that? Then she was like, relax, sir.
So
I'll write the lyrics for you. Where now you just have to shake
how
your body.
How old is your daughter?
She's 16 now.
16 and she wrote your lyrics. And she's pretty much your manager then because she told you to go into music.
Yes.
That's impressive.
Yes.
Hey, moms. Kids making careers for parents.
Hey, man. That's what millennials are about.
It's very impressive. So do the other people who you work with at the hospital or the clinic, do they know about your music career?
They do now.
Do they treat you differently now that everybody in South Africa knows who you are from the Samas?
No.
They still treat you like any other nurse?
Yes.
Okay. So there's no patients, for example, are lying in the beds and they might not recognize you, or they do?
They don't recognize me at all because really when I'm at work,
mm-hmm.
I'm a totally different person. Then they would ask me, sister, when is Skolopat coming on duty? Because we heard she's a nurse. Then I'll be like, she's coming, relax.
And you don't reveal yourself to them?
No.
You keep them strung along?
Yes.
Now tell me, where did you come up with this name Skolopat?
A go-getter.
Mm.
An independent woman.
Uh-huh.
A strong diva.
Yeah.
Bona, I can't get kantolagala.
And you got the hard shell, so you don't care about what happens when people knock you.
Yes.
Right.
Born.
Right. I like that name. Because when we heard about Skolopad, and by the way, are you from Bloem, Bethlehem, or Kwa Kwa?
Kwa Kwa.
There we go.
Mabali Moloi.
Did you ever bump into Mabali Moloi at Mauritius Tavern in Kwa Kwa?
China Garden.
No, no. No, we haven't bumped into each other yet.
Not yet.
I mean, it's the first time we're meeting today.
Oh, I thought you two might have already had a drink together without knowing it. No? Now, these outfits that you wear, I mean, you wore this sensational dress at the summit. Did you plan that months in advance, or was it just something you decided on the night, this is what I'm going to wear?
Skolopad. She likes being like that, like but, now. Emma, should I?
With the shorts. Look at those shorts.
You're not feeling cold,
sister.
Huh?
Yes, girl.
Magali, what are you saying?
I'm asking, you're not feeling cold.
You are cold. Wearing like that. So why not?
What's stand up again. Show me those legs. Yes, Skolopad. All right, here we go.
Strike a pose.
Yes. Oh,
that's very nice.
Oh, and that's a trademark pose. Very sexy.
It's a Skolopad pose.
It's very good.
Ooh, can we do the Skolopad challenge? We must make it trend. We must all do that now. As that's how we'll pose.
Do me a favor and
yes,
do it.
There we go.
Now, what was the story? Because I saw those pictures and you were almost like crawling on the carpet.
And I nearly forget about that pose. Ne? And then my child was like, Mama, don't forget about the pose.
This kid is on top of things. She knows what to do. Yo, you've raised some firecracker of a daughter. And then?
And then this pose, ne?
Yeah.
This pose actually means you can actually go down, but get up strong and continue.
Right.
So I was expecting one of us, as in like, I won't say the name, but bo artist babang, ne? To actually say Skolopad, stand up. So they didn't. They just passed me by. What is she doing? Now I was actually telling them, Horibana, you can actually fall and someone out there can take you up, ne? And help say, please, let's.
It's about not giving up, trying again,
yes,
getting up,
yes,
perseverance.
And then you
right.
go on as if nothing happened, like myself. Bona, I just get up and then move like a diva again.
Now, what was this? Did you enjoy the Samas? First time you've been there?
It wasn't the first time.
When was the first time you've been?
2000 and when is this year?
It's currently
2017.
This year. Oh, 2016 maybe.
Last year the Samas were in Durban.
Yes.
I didn't go. Uh-huh. And then 2015 I went.
That was Sun City as well.
Yes. Okay. Then I was a rabbit there.
A rabbit.
Joe, with Emma Hadla. Do you know Emma Hadla?
The tail.
Yeah, oh. The fluffy one, ne? Like the.
Mara Esmolanyana one.
Yeah, like the like the
Playboy
ones that the
Playboy Bunny,
yeah.
Hugh Hefner. Yeah.
Yes.
Did you have the ears as well?
No, I had a rabbit style on it. The carrot style.
Carrot. Your
yes,
hair.
Yes, the carrot was my hair was like a carrot.
And it was orange.
Oh,
okay, so it just looked like a carrot.
Yes.
Wow, you're very imaginative with these outfits. I mean, this is good because it makes you stand out from the crowd.
Robin.
And there are lots of artists out there. They're all competing for attention, and you're the one who got it.
And you actually had to call me to your studio
of course.
That.
But you think I'd miss out on the chance to meet you? It's fantastic.
Okay.
Yeah. So how's the career going? Are you making some money?
Next.
Oh, wow.
Oh, no.
Seriously? No one's buying the stuff? You aren't doing enough performances? What's the problem?
Hey, they'll actually say, we want to see your thighs, we want to see your the tattoo. Then they don't actually say, can you come and perform? Then when we charge them with the performance, then they're like, no, we don't know what you're doing. We just need you as that person on the red carpet.
So they're not interested in you as an artist.
Yes, they're interested
just,
in
they're
my
they're using you as an attention, a way to get attention.
Yes.
And social media, I mean, what kind of reaction do you get from people on Twitter and Instagram? And people love you?
It's a two-way thing, ne? So since Wala Manayas...
Yes.
I can handle things.
Sure. You've seen
I know how to handle things. Like, should I allow to say it?
You go for it.
You
whatever you want to say.
Say anything.
I know how to handle shit. So it's like being a nurse, I can smile with a bedpan on it. So why not dealing with the shit when people are saying to me?
As a nurse, you must see terrible things sometimes, trauma and people.
And then go on as if nothing happened,
right, Robin. So you have to be strong.
Yeah, so for the social media, for me, it's like, Bona, I know how to deal with them.
But when people say horrible things, it hurts your feelings, even if you don't show. You don't get hurt.
I'm expecting that. So sometimes when you do things, you must expect what's going to happen.
But sometimes there's also love. It's not all hate.
No, I want that.
Yeah. And I mean, people are adding, they're following you, they're trying to figure out what you're up to, they want to see your pictures, they want to hear your
songs.
That's
what I want, Wabona.
Yeah, sure.
If I'm not doing that, they won't follow.
Right.
So when did the music start then? Because I didn't realize that you've been attending the summers for 2 years already.
The music started in 2015.
Okay.
When I started the single clubbing.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what does it mean?
Mm-mm. Tell me.
Come and say this thing when it's happening.
Clubbing.
Can you play it again?
Yeah, sure. Of course I will.
Come and
clubbing. All right. Clubbing.
Come and say this thing when it's happening. Then come and see school bada shaking her body.
Yes, wearing the yellow dress things at the metro.
Well, I understand them. Yeah.
Now, who do you like in the music business? Do you have friends who are in the music business? These other artists who walked past you and looked at you on the red carpet and they weren't very nice about you. Who are your friends? Who are the people in music that you like? You can tell me. I'm not gonna judge. Who do you like and who do you not like?
Just be free. Get it off your chest.
What do you think of Babes Wadumo?
I like her energy. I like the dancing. Bona. Mm-hmm. She's got energy.
Mm.
And I've got plus. And then...
Sure.
So my quieter music, I'm not agree. I'm an old Angana. I know this quieter thing.
You've been around a while. You know your stuff.
Yeah. So now I used to like Kanabari Kimang. I'm still loving him.
Who's that? What name?
Jofan Tofa.
Pitch Black Afro.
Yes.
Ah,
them Tofa and Tofa guy.
All right.
And most importantly, may her soul rest in peace, Lebo. Lebo Mathosa.
Very inspiring woman, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
Did you get into music because of Lebo Mathosa? Because you looked up to her, no? You did this all because of your daughter?
Yes.
That's amazing. Now, are there men in your life? Is there a man in your life? Is there a one guy who gets to be around Skolopat all the time?
I don't know how to say that in English.
Say it in Sotho. It's fine.
I've got Mihlapool.
What's a Mihlapool?
Puff and pass.
Oh, that's fine.
Yes.
So now they don't have to be attached because they get attached to me, they end up doing wrong things. So now puff and pass in England. So,
And you must also, while you're famous, you must be able to choose different men that stimulate you in different ways, right?
Yeah. Yes.
You don't need to be with one guy.
Yes. I think even the menu, it's there to choose most.
Right. And when you go to the Samas, are there a lot of men who are interested in you?
I don't need one. I don't want one.
Wow. So you're quite independent.
I'm there for my things, for my business.
But I'm sure, for example, when you wore the yellow dress at the metros.
That also got a lot
to have garnered some sort of male attraction, like, hey now, you know. So is it just strictly business, or don't you have a little situation with that?
I don't want anyone next to me.
You're very independent. That's very commendable.
When you go to the metros in the summers, for example, do you attend alone? Do you take your daughter with you? What's the situation there?
I go alone.
Okay.
As you become you become one person, I be in a different spirit in my mood. But I don't have to drink, I don't have to eat, I don't have to just, I'm in that mood.
And you enjoy the show.
Yes. Right.
But then also sticking to your fashion quickly, how do you now brief your designers, or when you're looking for an outfit, what's the process that goes to deciding, like, you know what, this award show, me, Bunny, that's it?
Okay, normally I draw a sketch for them, or mm-hmm. I want my thigh to be out.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what happened to the yellow dress?
Mm-hmm.
This guy, okay, he did a revealing dress, but it was not that revealing for Na. And
so
me,
you wanted more revealing.
Me and my child had to cut it more, Nyana.
Mm.
Oh, is
and
that
say,
what
Mama,
happens?
Cut and twee.
Mm.
It's too long and it's not revealing.
So she knows, your daughter knows you've got to be super sexy.
Yes.
Huh? Yeah. She knows what sells.
Am I?
You look at you.
Yes,
look at that ass.
Getting up again.
Those thighs.
There we go.
And we've got the almost thigh high boots to go with the shorts.
Yeah. No, Skolopad, you're not messing around. I like this.
You are the business.
Now, what's your plan for the rest of this year? Are we going to be making more music? Are we going to be doing some shows?
Can more shows. See you? More shows. Because the music is there already. I've got 12 tracks.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so I'm just looking for the more shows.
Mm-hmm.
And
of course, if you really want to meet Skolopad, you must just take an axe and smash yourself in the head, and then you'll end up at the hospital, and then she can help you.
But then they won't see Skolopad. They will see Nurse Q.
Okay, Nurse
then
Q.
Then all they have to do just to be to the shows where Skolopad it is. So meaning, I'm saying to people out there, invite me to your clubs, mm-hmm. to your shows, to your events, so that people can see me doing my thing. Then when I say, come and see this thing when it's happening. Oh, yes.
Right.
Kloboneng.
Kloboneng.
Are we going to be following you on Instagram? What's your Instagram handle?
It's changed to Vesalisa Skolopad, but...
Yes. What? How do I spell that? I don't even know how to start.
It's V-E-S-I.
V-E-S-I, yeah.
L-I.
L-I.
S-A.
Yeah.
- Skolopad.
Yo, okay, Skolopad.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I got you. I'm going to go and follow you now.
Please.
See what you're up to.
Mm.
Thank you for coming to see us, and I hope you get lots of shows, and I really hope you make a success of this. I think it's terrific that you are you listen to your daughter and that she's helping you with your career in music, but I also think it's great that you're doing what you do as a nurse. We need good nurses in this country. We can't do it without you. And you know what? If you can do both, then you're a superwoman. And as you say, you're independent, so you're puffing and passing. You're having a good time.
Yes.
Good for you.
But you haven't said my slogan. Why
well, go on.
You,
what's say what, for me?
What's when I say mpinche saka, mm-hmm. you just have to say skoko saka.
Oh,
okay. Okay.
Then I say kerelang
ka.
Okay.
All right, let's go.
Okay. Mpinche saka.
Skoko saka.
Kerelang
ka. Oh, that's fantastic. All right. Thank you. Skolopad, thank you so much for coming to see us this morning, yes, sweetheart. Listen to some of this.
The show is gonna start now. You gonna show them love and
fun. Sherbet, I've stopped that song too soon. Yeah. I think we're back on. All right. Listen to this quickly. I got an email from somebody who said they listened to Wednesday's podcast with Debbie from Washington. She thought that her family and her sounded exactly like a family in a phone call that they'd heard before. I know you guys probably heard it, but it's so hilarious. It's worth a listen if you haven't. Thank you for the best show in the world. It's become a necessity. Like John Oliver, it's not enough to have them use the product. They must get you addicted to the product. My name is McGill, and I'm a Cliff Central holic. I have been since inception, and I'm proud of it. Peace and love. Peace and love. McGill, a.k.a. Mac. And then I tried to get this clip off the email, but it wouldn't download. So I don't know what I'm doing wrong there. Wow, Skolopad. Skolopad just asked me for petrol money because she needs to get the Randburg. And I said to her, I don't have any. So I don't know what to do with this. I don't keep cash on me at the moment. So.
Ooh, Kloboneng.
Kloboneng, baby.
Skokosam.
Wow. Hey, Mavs, your homegirl.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you won't dispute it anymore. You're from Kwakwa.
No, I mean, proud.
She said she's from Kwakwa, so
I admire that she can hold down the nursing and she can do the music career. Huh? Mm. Isn't she fantastic?
Yeah.
Skolopad.
I like the fact that, you know, in 2017, you can do anything you like.
Right.
And you can be whatever you like.
And who started her career in music? Her daughter.
Yeah.
Very impressive. Let's get into some news, shall we?
What's going on in the news? What do we need to know?
Okay, well, maybe we should begin with the 75 million rand that the SABC owes to local musicians. I mean, how often do we keep hearing this story?
Saudi Motsweneng was saying when he announced his 90% policy, oh, this is going to be great for the local music business. Now all our local artists will finally earn their fair share of the pie. I'm doing wonders for local music. Remember, it was just before the elections and everyone made a big fuss of it, including a whole troop of musicians who said, Saudi's our hero. They supported him. They were at his protest marches, all of this stuff.
They recorded an album in his honor.
He had a choir serenade him every time he walked into the SABC. And it was great.
And now it turns out it was all smoke and mirrors. And guess what? Saudi has disappeared. The money is owed to these artists and it won't be paid because the SABC is bankrupt. And nobody wins. Nobody wins. Do you see how silly we are to fall for these people who are promising us the world? And we get nothing. Huh? Isn't it awful?
I mean, you're right, though. This money will never be paid. It's a debt. I don't know what happens to it now.
Oh, forget about it.
It won't be paid.
No, these are the same artists who were starving before the 90% rule. Now they're going to be starving afterwards.
So the DA's Phumzile van Dam asked the Minister of Communications what the public broadcaster owes in royalty payments to various South African music interest groups, and then she went onto Twitter to post the results.
Mm-hmm.
The largest amount, more than 52 million rand, is owed to the South African Music Performance Rights Association and the Independent Music Performance Rights Association. I wasn't even aware that all these associations exist, if I have to be completely honest.
And what does that mean? In what context? Is it because of the performances that they air on their programming?
No, you've got royalties.
Yeah, so, royalties. Oh, okay. It's a royalty distribution royalties. Problem.
If you're an artist and they play your song on the radio, then you have to be paid. You get it. It's a small payment. It's not a lot. But there's a certain payment that you have to make for every song, every piece of original created content that you use, whether it's in video or in audio or anything else. And the SABC obviously has agreements in place with organizations like SAMRO or SARL,
not SANRAL,
although we all have agreements in place with them that we don't honor. SARL and then CAPASO. These are the three organizations that take care of these music rights.
Mm-hmm.
And none of them seem to be able to extract a cent out of the SABC. For a while, it was those organizations that didn't pay the artists. It seems the artists are just at the receiving end of absolutely nothing but pain.
Well, you're talking like, presumably it's a matter of cents per play. It can't be much more than
that. Well,
it's very little.
That's the question I'm wondering is...
It's not going to keep
you... But if
you're
on high rotation and they're playing you like 150,000 times an hour, then it will add up.
Yeah, but you won't live on it. It's not enough to live on. So a lot of these artists imagine that the royalties are going to keep them out of poverty, but it won't.
Well, I'm sorry to ask a dumb question and compare us to international artists, but how do the international guys manage to make millions off of their royalties? Is that just because they are international?
They don't. What happens is that occasionally one of them will hit a real windfall where they want to use their song for a commercial. So a brand will say, you know, we got a retail store and we want to use your song to put in our 30-second TV ad. Then they make money because then they have to pay for the exclusive rights for that song for their brand. But that's different. If you're just playing it on the radio or you're just screening the music video, see, there's a bit of give and take here. Because if radio stations, if you want to charge them a fortune in royalties, then they're not going to play it. Then you're not going to get popular and no one's going to buy your song. So it has to start somewhere. Either you start playing the song and people get to know it and they like it and they want to buy it, or you never get heard on the radio, and people don't know you exist, and so they don't buy your songs, and you don't make any money anyway.
Well, back in the day, you know, Eminem was like the last artist to fully, properly cash in on the CD sales era. Prior to that, cassettes and vinyl and whatnot. But it used to be that a band, you could have like a Right Said Fred that has this one album, one song that sells a squillion copies, and that's you. You've got millions and millions, unless you develop a crack habit or whatever, you're going to hold on to that.
Yeah, but that's from sales.
Sure, from sales.
It's got nothing to do with the royalties.
And then... you would go tour for 6 months or a year, and that was a promotional tool for your album.
Yeah.
Now your album, which makes no money,
is a promotional tour for your
live shows.
Right.
Yeah.
See, this is Gord Laws adding his
very
expertise in the music industry.
Yeah. Very informed, God laws.
Hey, we should talk to Jennifer Rush about Power of Love and how.
You know. She's can I bring something up here quickly? You remember we Jennifer Rush was in here and we had an interview with her, and then she went back to America and she was trolling me on social media.
Was she?
Yeah, and I didn't understand this at all because we'd had a very nice interview.
Yeah.
And someone pointed it out to me because I wouldn't even have been aware. And now there's nothing else coming from her. She's we don't have any contact at all. But I heard the other day from someone, and maybe you know Tamron Jardine.
Yeah.
So I heard from somebody the other day that she's got beef with me.
That Jennifer Rush has
no,
beef.
No. Tamron Jardine.
Oh, Tamron Jardine has
now
beef
why?
With you.
Why would Tamron Jardine? The last time I saw Tamron, she was here with Ari.
Yeah, well, she's had a segment on,
and we had a very nice talk. And so I hear from somebody else, completely unrelated. Oh, what's your beef with Tamron Jardine? And I thought, I don't know that I've got beef with her. Do people make this stuff up?
I don't know. I mean, it's kind of like how Jeannie D has blocked Ben Karpinski, and he has no idea why on Twitter.
That's beef.
I mean, do you remember maybe saying something unkind about her?
What did you do there, Ben?
I did nothing.
No, I'm asking you, Gareth.
It's about I
haven't asked Jeannie D about Ben.
No, I mean Tamron. No. Do you remember saying anything unkind about her?
I can't imagine that I ever did. I don't. You know, talk about Tamron that often, and whenever I've seen her, it's been very pleasant. I like her. There's been no reason for us to have beef. Do you think people make this stuff up?
Well, I think in Ben's case, that's the golden question, and if we get that answer, that would be amazing. But in this industry particularly, it might have been something small, or Tamron
might
have...
Right, get her on the line. Let me talk to her right now. It's at least iron this out. I hate the... You know what? I don't want to think about that there's someone out there who really doesn't like me, and I don't even know why.
But, I mean, it may have nothing to do with the direct beef. Beef can be indirect. You might have held a political view, or you might have said something about a gender pronoun that was very close to a person's heart.
Well, in that case, then I'm happy.
Purely speculating, of course.
She could be a Hillary fan. She could really... She would want the campaign for privacy of Bruce Jenner's... Caitlyn Jenner's genitals.
Yeah,
these
maybe.
These are things that you have not been too precious about.
Let's see what happens. We'll get her on the line. Can we try and do that? Tamron Jardine, we've got a number. Temba says, Skolopat like her body. Skolopat for the Grammy, winning. What just happened? Ha ha ha, Skolopat. Oh my God, well done, guys. Greg. And then Jared says, maybe, this is a WeChat message, maybe they're not interested in the music because it sounds like Tyka Nelson produced it. I think that's with regard to the SABC.
Oh, shame, guys.
Yeah.
Some of the veteran artists are really good.
Skolopat's fast asleep outside.
Well, you know, maybe she had a long night. We don't know.
She drove through the night to get here. So she's sleeping outside on the sofa. Wow, this is exciting. I wonder if we're going to have to get the red ants. All right. Anyway, what else is going on? This place is such a circus.
This place is what it is, man. It is what it is.
Oh, I love it.
So, amidst the Gupta leaks and Gupta emails, a rather important question has now been posed to some legal experts, which is whether or not the Gupta leaks is enough to prosecute the Guptas and the president.
Oh.
At face value, the Gupta leaks emails indicate a whole lot of crimes that have been committed, which could land, the Guptas and the president behind bars. But legal experts say that although the emails show that irregularities did occur, they are not sufficient on their own to hold the Gupta family and the president to court to prosecute them for various misdeeds.
You actually have to get... You have to find the hand trapped in the till.
Yes.
In order to understand what's going on here. Everything else is not going to be good enough. You actually have to see the hand going into the till and them slamming the hand into the till shut.
And then prove there wasn't permission to go into the till and prove ownership of the till.
Correct.
And also, you know, the origins of where the money in the till came from historically.
That's exactly true. You should be a lawyer.
It's just so annoying because just when you think that something can be used as evidence, you find out that it can't be. So the experts say, yes, the emails do provide sufficient grounds to lay charges with the police, but unless they are accompanied with transactions,
yes,
of money being moved from one account to another, you can't do anything with those emails.
But surely we can do that. We know, for example, about the payments that Eskom and Transnet made to the Guptas, so surely we can follow these payments.
Well, you have to ask the question of whether or not anybody is trying to investigate this. I mean, the Daily Maverick's new investigations unit, the Scorpio, and then the Amabongani, they are, you know, among the groups of people who revealed a lot of information. For example, the fact that the Guptas earned 10 million rand for every 50 million rand locomotive that was built, those special trains that we never used.
Yes. They were too big for the tracks.
So surely there is electronic evidence there of money moving from one account to another.
Well, the funniest thing about all this is the one group of people who are not doing any investigation and are not talking about this issue are the people who are meant to be investigating it. The Directorate of Public Prosecutions and the Hawks.
Yeah.
They're not interested in investigating this. You would think this would be the biggest scandal. This is like when Richard Nixon sent people into the Watergate building, only 10 times bigger because it involves huge amounts of money. And he had to resign. But it's not even an issue to the Hawks. Sean Abrams is sitting in his office this morning and he's sharpening his pencils. He's got nothing else to do. Oh, well, pity this country doesn't have any crime for me to investigate.
I have to tell a terrible joke. I'm sorry. Oh. I can't keep it in. So my buddy Alan Adams is a really funny comedian. And I remember when they first disbanded the Scorpions and replaced them with the Hawks, obviously because now, you know, like people getting too close to the truth, etc. But it's like we're going to cycle through all the badass animals and we'll have the tigers and the panthers and whatnot. Eventually we're going to run out. And then we'll end up with the anemones. And their slogan will be, an enemy of the people. I apologize for that joke. See ya.
Yes.
Is Skolopat sleeping outside on the sofa?
Yes, she is.
She's resting her eyes.
She's just taking a nap.
All right. This is great. What a great story. Have we got Tamarin? What's going on there? She doesn't want to talk to us?
No, not by the sounds of it.
Oh, she doesn't want to talk.
It's just ringing.
She didn't answer it and go, no, I don't want to talk to this
son of a bitch.
That's a good first step. I hear these stories sometimes and I think I don't worry about this stuff, but it bothers me when I hear it.
No, I personally don't think it's a thing
at all. It can't be, right?
It's something totally blown out of context. Like, why would there be a thing?
Oh, I don't know. I've got to get to the bottom of this. I've got to talk to Tamarin myself. I'll record the call. I'll let you hear it. All right. It's 13 minutes to 8.
Did we get to the bottom of the Jennifer Rush situation?
No. But the funny story there was, not unlike what's going on right now, when she was in the studio, for some reason, she ducked down below a window and stalked on her knees to the bathrooms. And nobody knows. She said people were trying to take pictures of her. There's no one trying to take pictures of her. You know, the last time anyone wanted to take a picture of Jennifer Rush was in the 80s.
And she trolled you on social media?
Well, yes. I mean, she was. She said to me, oh, you know, I don't like your show anymore. She used to listen to us because when she left here, she would call the studio the whole time. You would think Jennifer Rush had better things to do, but she clearly didn't. So she got quite enamored of what we were up to here, and she would listen every day. And I don't know what I did to upset her there or what she heard on the show that she didn't like.
Mm.
But then suddenly she just started becoming very mean, and then she dropped off completely. Well, so I'm still confused as to what happened there.
Well, that just lends back to the royalty situation. So she's, you know, she's sold power of love and. So she's probably chinchilling and has nothing much to do because she has so much money, you know. B, this is not your first trip at the rodeo, of course. Like, you've had people not like you. So let's just move on.
Okay, let's just be clear about this. I'm not thrilled when I find out that someone doesn't like me, but I am used to it. It's kind of like what Skolpat was saying earlier, that some people, you just know they're not going to like you and it's not going to always go your way, and that's okay. But you don't, it's not a good feeling, you know. I don't want to go to sleep at night thinking there are a whole bunch of people in the world who really don't like me. It's not necessary. And if you could be friends, rather be friends than be enemies. So I'm bound to upset people with an opinion here and there or some point of view, and I accept that. Otherwise I wouldn't be an honest person. But I don't like anyone to think that I personally dislike them. I really don't. I don't have any enmity or hatred or nastiness in my soul for anyone else. I don't go to sleep wishing ill on anybody. Do you?
No.
Arsenal fans. Really? Yeah.
God, you bastard.
Sorry, Ben, that was a dig, and I apologize. It was mean.
No, okay. I can't think of the last time that I mean, even the Guptas and the president, I don't hate them. I just wish they'd stop what they were doing. Anyway, coming up in the next little while, we've got the Israeli ambassador, Arthur Lenk, is going to pop in and say hi to us. He actually is going to be going back to Israel, I think, quite soon, and we're very, very sad about that because he's been a great friend to South Africa and someone who we like to talk to on the show. We've had him here once before, and he's going to pop by and tell us what he's up to. He's sitting just on the same sofa as Skolopat, who's still having a sleep. This is great. You didn't, Ambassador, you didn't think you'd be here with the famous Skolopat and that she would be sleeping on the sofa. This is terrific. This never happens at the embassy, by the way. Interesting stuff like this doesn't go on there. Or at Foreign Affairs. What an exciting day. Oh, Mubs, what else do you want to tell us?
Yeah, what else do you want to tell us?
My mother doesn't even know what to say.
I think you've broken, Sia. I'm done. Okay, cool. I'm resigning from life today.
That's great.
Let's look at a couple of things. Well, what is up? Let's have a Misha Barton update. Hey?
Oh, no.
Thank you. Finally.
Our favorite Misha Barton. No, this is good news, guys. It's good news.
What? She's been arrested and she's in jail, well, but no. She's safe?
Remember the last time we mentioned Misha Barton? She was battling her ex-boyfriend and trying to take him to court about this whole revenge porn situation because they'd taken some pictures while they were together and they're now separated,
yeah.
And he was trying to shop this footage around.
Which, by the way, is just such a douchey thing to do.
Completely.
You know, yeah. If you're in a relationship with someone and you end up with stuff on your phone or on your email or whatever that has them in it, the only appropriate thing to do is delete.
Mm.
I mean, the relationship's over. What are you hanging on to that stuff for?
I'm kind of not all that happy about the result because ultimately the Misha Barton and her ex had to strike a deal, which was signed off by a judge. So it wasn't the judge ordering that all footage had to be destroyed or all footage cannot ever be released. So there's probably some sort of money payment situation that had to be made from Misha's side to her ex-boyfriend, John Zacharias. But nonetheless, she's now prevented from sharing any of the explicit images or the sex tape as well. So,
well, she obviously had to pay him some money.
That sucks.
That there would be a settlement. And you should never have to do that. I think it's horrible. If a guy does this to a girl does this to a guy, whatever the story, it's just not on.
Mm.
Like, you know what? Whatever happened in that time where you were together and you were being sexy with each other, you know, it was the same thing that bothered me about Pamela Anderson and Tommy Lee all those years ago, and even Paris Hilton and that dude. Even the Kardashian sex tape, which we know the mom was the one who decided she would release it.
Yeah, well, that was sold for money. That's a whole different story.
Which is a new level of sick when your mom is actually the one peddling your sex tape. But let's leave that aside for a moment.
Yeah.
These are intimate things you share with someone who at the time you're in love with or you're attracted to. The two of you having some fun. You don't use that as ammo against them when things go wrong.
Mm-mm.
That's horrible.
And it doesn't matter how bad the breakup was.
No,
either.
You don't need to do that. That's just not on. I think that you're crossing a really ugly line there.
Well, on top of everything, she also now has a restraining order against the ex, and he has to stay at least 100 yards away from her.
There's a bad guy, this.
It's a mess. And sticking to Hollywood, I guess, well, congratulations to George and Amal Clooney. Their twins were born yesterday. The Clooneys confirmed that their twins are named Ella and Alexander and were born in London. So right now, they just said that both children born at a hospital in London are happy, healthy, and doing fine. And in true George Clooney dry sense of humor, the statement also said that George is sedated and should recover in a few days.
Tell you what, those are going to be some kids. They've got a beautiful-looking mother who's also super smart.
Ooh.
I mean, she's like a lawyer for the International Criminal Court in
The Hague. Mm. The International Human Rights Lawyer.
There we go. George Clooney is he's at the top of his game. He's the best-looking older man in the world. There isn't a guy in the world who wouldn't want to be George Clooney before or after he married her. Yeah. Either way, his life is great, right? What's that?
You've got to take into account Brad Pitt. I mean, that's a That's a pretty broad statement to make, he's the best looking older man in the world. There are a couple of contenders.
Let me tell you something. I saw a cover of a magazine the other day when I was buying some stuff at the shop. And Brad Pitt was on the cover of that magazine. The man's not looking happy.
Yeah, it
was
Angelina. Apparently, Brad Pitt's not good looking. That's what women tell me. George Clooney is, Brad Pitt not.
He used to be.
Yeah.
And Brad Pitt hit an absolute high where he was by far the best looking man in the world for a time.
Well, second, of course, David Beckham.
George Clooney.
Yeah, but does he fall into the older man category yet? I mean, he's on the cusp, right? He was playing for LA Galaxy like 3 years ago.
I don't think David Beckham has an age. I think he just is the best looking man in the
How
world.
How old is David Beckham?
Who cares? He's David Beckham.
He's terrific.
David.
Definitely
Beckham.
30s.
It's 30s.
He's like 43.
I think Lord created.
Ooh, that makes him yummier. Yeah.
When David Beckham was created, I think like the creator realized early that there was going to be no chance for other humans to procreate if he was left as perfect as he was.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he struck him with that voice just to give everybody else the chance to breathe.
This sounds a bit ridiculous.
Gareth, I think the cover you're talking about is the GQ one, which he did like a month ago. Oh, the article is even sadder than
but
the actual cover.
Here's the point, right? You know, beauty, I'm the most superficial guy in the world. Beauty does come from inside. Now, Brad's had a very tough couple of months. He had that very ugly divorce with Angelina Jolie. The kids don't get to see Brad as much. He loves his kids.
Mm.
And he's depressed. He said he's very depressed in this article. I only read this on the cover.
Yeah.
So, Brad, I'm getting over my depression or whatever. But he looks sad. He doesn't look like the happy guy. Now, George Clooney looks like nothing in his life could go wrong. George Clooney's having the best time ever.
In the article, he speaks about like how, you know, the kids are gone, Angelina's gone, all he has is his dog now.
Yeah.
I mean, you're...
Well, welcome to my life,
sorry,
Brad Pitt.
Sorry, six-pack, dude.
I got is my dog. It's not so bad. Don't make it sound depressed. I'm not depressed. Exactly. How dare you? Yeah, get over it. So you've lost out on the 23 kids that you had with Angelina.
You didn't used to have Angelina Jolie, dude.
What are the kids... Yeah, that's true. I'd be depressed if I'd lost out on that.
Everyone would, actually. Everyone would. But I wonder how, you know, George's exes feel about Amal. Because, you know, George was known as like this playboy bachelor, always single, never get married.
He would be spending his summers at Lake Como in Italy. Now, that sounds to me like a good place. I don't know anything about Lake Como, but it sounds like the kind of place you want to be for summer.
But why should they feel anything? They must get over it.
They'd be like, what was wrong with me?
Oh, please, get over yourself.
In like a matter of a couple of years, Amal now back, got the ring, got the kids. Now
Amal,
George is
look what Amal, forget
London.
About she got George. George got her.
Yeah.
She's the catch.
Yeah.
George is an actor.
Yeah.
This woman's changing the world.
And I mean, I don't stay abreast of this kind of Hollywood sort of thing, but even I read an article where he was told sort of, well done, you've got yourself such a prize, so to speak. Yeah. And he was like, oh, no. Like, let's acknowledge what my wife actually does and her list of achievements and accolades.
All right. Is she on Skype or on the phone? Oh, she's on the phone. Okay, we got Tamron Jardine. I got to sort this out with her quickly because I'm a little bit concerned. Hey, Tamron, how are you, baby? Tamron?
Hello.
How are you, sweetheart?
I'm good, thanks, and you?
Good. Someone told me the other day, I'm sorry to surprise you with this first thing on a Wednesday morning. Someone says to me the other day that they were talking to somebody and they said, you and I have beef. And
we have beef?
Well, this is where I was completely confused. I thought, I haven't had a fight with you. Have you and I had an argument? Did I ever say anything horrible about you?
No.
Yeah.
That's so weird.
Isn't it confusing? Someone I know went to a birthday party and they were talking to someone else. And you know how these stories get out there. So I thought we'd just clear this up. I don't want to have someone walking around having issues with me that I don't know about.
And I wouldn't want to have... I used to work at Cathedral.
Right. I love you. I've never had an issue with you.
No, and you were so sweet to me, especially when I was wonderfully pretty and disgustingly fat in one sentence.
Oh. You were never fat. What are you talking about?
Ariane Kat to confirm. Kat even said I had to eat like elephants.
Well, then Kat is the one you should have beef with. I mean, how dare she? She's so rude about everybody. No,
but I did have feet like elephants.
I just wanted to clear that up because it struck me as so strange. I mean, someone who I've only ever had good interaction with. You know, rumors start, yeah. and then if you don't sort them out there and then, people start to believe them.
Well, I'm glad to say that. I'd love to know who this gossip monger is.
Yeah.
Decided to say that we have beef when I don't think we've ever had a negative interaction once.
Yeah, I'm going to find out.
Oh, no, do you know, once upon a time,
yeah,
long ago, when you were still on 5FM and I was in school, I think you said a negative thing about St. Anne's Girls, but that was
About St. Anne's Girls?
Yes, but I don't think we've ever had beef other than the fact that I remember long ago when you were in 5FM because you didn't like St. Anne's Girls.
Well, that's because St. Anne girls, a lot of them are sluts.
Oh. Well, that's that.
No, I'm kidding. I didn't know. I was at primary school in Ladsworth, which is down the road from St. Anne's, and the St. Anne's girls were always way out of our league. So that was probably why.
We had this chat long ago, and I remember joking with you saying you used to call us sluts on radio.
Well, that's possible, but I certainly didn't have any issue with you. All right, I love you. Have a happy day. I'm so glad there's no cloud.
I'd love to know who this person is.
So. I'm gonna. Don't worry. You better believe I'm gonna investigate. I'm not gonna let this go.
I agree.
All right.
Please let me know.
How are you? What are you up to at the moment?
I'm good. I have a Pilates studio in Bryanston in Riverside Shopping Centre, so trying to lose all that weight that I gained from my little girl.
Nice. Yeah, and how's motherhood going?
Amazing. I don't think there's anything better than being a mommy.
Aww. Pilates, huh?
Yes. And bath.
I've heard that that's, you think when you watch people doing it, you think, oh, that's not so strenuous. It's hardcore, right?
No, it is very hardcore. You should come try a class. You'll die.
All right. I'll come and do it if you're going to train us.
I will.
All right. I'll phone you and we'll organize.
Perfect.
You got some hot girls in your crew there. Have you got some MILFs that come and train with you?
We do. Actually, we do. A lot of our clients are very hot little moms that come and train after they drop the kids at school.
Where did you say your studio was?
In Riverside Shopping Centre in Bryanston.
Riverside Shopping Centre.
Sit outside and have coffee.
Oh, I'm gonna stand outside the window and
salivate
and rub my hand over my mouth like a creep, and bring my friend Bill Cosby. No, I'm kidding. I'll be there though. I'll come and visit you.
Cool. Perfect.
All right, honey. Love you. Thank you very
much. Thanks so much. Okay. Have a great day.
Cheers, Tamron. Bye. There we go. Tamron Jardine.
See, always a he said, she said, broken telephone situation.
I'm telling you, there's people who like these stories. This Pilates stuff is hardcore, though.
Speaking of which, Ben, what's in yoga updates? Are you downward dogging?
Yes, what's been happening, Ben?
Yeah, I did a bit on Saturday. I think today is my next session. I try to do 2 a week to get going.
For how long again? For life. How long are the sessions, I mean? For life, okay.
Hour and a half, yeah. Hour and a half. It's like hardcore yoga. So I'm doing that, and then I've started this other thing where I'm just doing sprint training. So between the two, I'll be amazing come summer.
You'll be like a pretzel that runs fast.
Yeah, and with flexibility comes at the sprint.
What?
Because I'm like, what? He's doing the yoga, then he's also doing sprinting. Like, pretzel, you'll be able to like turn yourself inwards, outwards, while doing a little 100-meter dash.
Yeah, pretty much everything I want to do in life, right there. That's me summed up in a sentence.
Ooh, yes, please, and thank you.
Oh, you see, the 90-minute session, you see, for us lazy people, we go, 90 minutes I could fit in a movie.
Guys, I've been doing this this body tech thing.
How's that going?
Along with gym. So I go to gym 5-6 times a week if I can. So at the minimum, I'll do 4 mm-hmm. in a week. 4, 45-minute sessions. I'm trying to mix it up. Ben taught me all of this stuff early on. You know, do a lot of pull-ups and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm getting there. I've probably lost about 4 or 5 kilos, which is perfect. Now it's kind of keeping it lean and toning up and all of that stuff. And then I'm doing this body tech thing, which is 20 minutes. Doesn't sound like it's a long time.
For how many times a week?
Once a week.
Okay.
I've got 6 sessions, so I'll finish next week. And it gets progressively more intense, but they basically shock you. It's like electroshock therapy.
Mm-mm.
They attach this thing. They spray it with water so it conducts electricity better. You walk out there in a pair of very tight, like, cycling pants and a very tight little black shirt that hugs your arms, and you look ridiculous. Looks like a leotard. And then they strap this vest to you with all these electrodes on it,
uh-huh.
and they tie it really tight. And then they put a band on your legs, on your upper legs, and a band on your upper arms, and this belt around your ass. And it shocks the hell out of you. You have to do simple things like lift your arms,
yeah.
and then it goes for 4 seconds. That 4 seconds lasts forever.
So it's your butt, your legs.
Oh, it works everything. I have.
So it targets those
places. It's a full body.
After the first session, I couldn't sit down.
Yeah.
For like a day comfortably. It felt like the bones of my backside were driving into the chair.
Could you? How was driving?
Oh.
Turning that steering wheel with those noodle arms.
Yes.
Like it's very sore.
Shocking or sore?
It's weird. It's like a cramp. You know when you get a cramp?
And how much does getting a luxury cramped cost?
Here's the deal. They said to me I must do this 6 sessions and then we'll figure out whether we want to carry on or not.
Have you decided?
I'm still halfway.
But I mean, are you getting results though?
Yeah.
And like, are you stronger the next day in the gym, etc.?
Yeah, and it works muscles that I don't normally obviously work. So things are happening.
But it's a discomfort. It's not total pain. Like,
no,
not,
it's
right?
not.
You aren't like screaming.
It's a cramp.
Minutes.
It's a cramp. But you do. You swear and you curse. It's,
oh, really?
Oh, yeah, yeah. No. This is not for sissies.
See, I would scream.
Oh, no. I died in an electric chair in my past life, so I'm not ready. It's
you know that for a fact? It's so dramatic. So, Mubs, you said the other day, it was yesterday, in fact, you said you'd like to have less of you.
Yes.
So are we starting any kind of regimen?
Well, the eating is the number one focus at the moment, so I'm cleaning that up.
Same
and then I need to figure out when to fit in my workouts, because right now it's just proving to be... I mean, I have 12-hour days, essentially.
No, no.
And when I get back home at 8 o'clock at night, the last thing on my mind is, oh, 20-minute session.
Mm. Or the last thing you want to do is like actually slave over the stove, cooking a healthy meal.
A healthy meal always takes longer than
exactly.
Tupperware is your friend, yo. I'm like on day 3 of a 180-day fatness relapse recovery program. My weight is up and down.
180.
Yeah. Man, I've lost like 67 kilos, then gained 35, then lost 35, then gained now.
That doesn't sound good,
Gordon. No, dude, but it's like a lifelong issue, man. Anyway, it's one of those where we need our own whole segment to talk about it. But I'm with you. I'm on day 3. So I've got like steamed things in Tupperwares going on. It's a lifestyle.
Yeah.
Okay. Who is this that we've got on the line? JB. Yeah, JB, you want to talk to Ben? Go ahead.
Hi, Ben. How are you?
Yes, that's fantastic. How are you today?
I'm excellent. Ben, I just wanted to know, in some of the South African sports area, are we not able to follow the same process as like in America with the NBA draft and the NFL draft? Does that not help to build young talent?
Yeah, I totally agree with you. It can happen in all sports because it's a very professional and normal system where talent can be exposed and then given opportunities. The problem is here that there's so many different silos. Everything in this country is broken down by too many silos. So if one silo is terrible, it affects certain people. Whereas there, it's like a national interest. Same with New Zealand rugby. It's a national interest, so therefore it always works.
So why don't we follow that formula?
Because it takes people to give up cushy jobs they're not qualified to have. It takes people giving up egos they'd rather hold on to. And that's unfortunately what it comes down to. Sports administrators hold on to their jobs for dear life. So to have a national interest, it means less people will be employed in that facet of play.
Oh, that's nice. All right.
Sorry, it's a very, very negative answer, really, but unfortunately I think that's the truth.
All right.
Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Well, there we go. Yeah, not every show is going to be good, and sometimes you're going to get a call like that. So, sorry, Ben, it was of interest to you and him. It's now 8 after 8. On the way, Arthur Lenk, the Israeli ambassador, will join us in the next little while. I'm very excited to see him. And he's wrapping up his post here in South Africa, so we thought we'd say goodbye to him and have a little celebration in the next little while. That's going to be fun. He's coming right up next. Arthur Link, Israeli ambassador, good morning to you. CliffCentral.com, 9 minutes after 8.
CliffCentral.com.